Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and I talk about I'm fortunate to have good friends that come on and are part of this program, and part of my desire with starting this ministry is everybody has a story and want to let lots of people be able to share what God's done in their life. And one of my closest friends in the world is with us today, and God has given him a passion just to help people have godly marriages. And also just to help men be all that God's called them to be. And not only does he talk the talk, he walks the walk. But Greg Williams is with us today. And he is with the Family Foundation here in Lexington. And he is the director of the Kentucky Marriage Movement.
That's right.
And so, Greg, first of all, man, just thanks for being here, buddy.
Well, thank you, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for your encouragement and the opportunity to share. We've known each other a long time. It's great to be on your show.
Well, a lot of people, they knew us in high school and college, would be shocked that we'd be doing a program like this, but it proves there is grace, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. We may have to wake a few people up, get them off the floor, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But thank you, Lord. Thank
is that
you.
Greg Horning, Greg Williams? Oh, my goodness. Wow, God can use anybody.
Amen.
Well, the fact of the matter is, though, as I shared in the intro, you know, God is just really, as he's grown you through the years in different areas of life, you grew up, tell a little bit about your background, you know, you went to Trancy, played college basketball, and got an accounting degree, is that correct?
Yeah. First degree was accounting, had the opportunity to go overseas and play ball and continue in that. And it seemed like that the Lord was not audibly, but seemed like he was saying, Greg, you can keep trying to prove something with your basketball, and I'll work on you and in you and through you, or you can submit to me completely. And I need people to help raise godly men, godly husbands, and godly fathers, because marriage is under attack. And that was 1987. So I began doing that, went back to UK and got a teaching degree, education degree, and began teaching and coaching, where I really connected with you guys because I coached your brother. We were friends. You and I were friends, coached your brother in high school as an assistant coach, and then went on to coach several college teams and or high school teams in college, and then did an abstinence until marriage program in the state. And out of that arose what we'll probably talk about mostly today is the love and worship program and message that the Lord's laid on my heart.
Well, it's just been great to have a front row seat to watch how God has just transitioned you and promoted you, I think, to talk about marriage and, you know, you tell about your family. You've got a wonderful family.
Yes. Yeah. My mom and dad, we were raised in the church. And if we weren't invited to sing, my mom would find a way to get us invited. And I say that with all love because she loved it. My dad had sang in a quartet for years with a couple of uncles and a minister friend of theirs. And every time the doors were open, we were there. And then I spent a few years in late college and out of college thinking I knew more than God and was pretty stubborn with that. But God got my attention and in a very gracious and loving way, even though it hurt sometimes, because he loves us enough to punish us. And that's something we don't take to very well in this culture today. But he does that, and he's done it with me, and I've shared that with others. And so the Lord developed all of this out of that. So.
Yeah, that was in your mid-20s, and a verse that I don't like, but I know it's the truth, is God disciplines those he loves. We both have felt that, but
yes,
we are both better for it, so we're thankful for that. And then now tell about your family.
Yeah, and I actually met my wife in 1988 at Southland Christian Church. We were involved there, and the Lord had taken me through a really tough time. It seemed like I was doing really well, and he got me flat on my face and basically said, Greg, you've done a lot of things where you have really worked hard, disciplined yourself, and for whatever level of success it was. But when it comes to sin and walking with me, you can't do it on your own. Mm-hmm. And he got me there, and I said, okay, Lord, if it's just me and you, then great. I'll walk in that. 3 weeks later, I'm at a church function, and I hear this lady talking to another lady about how she's going to help a young lady who's very poor in sixth grade, give her some clothes and help tutor her in English. And I turn the corner and there's this beautiful, gorgeous blonde. And I go, wow, that big of a heart and looks like that. I said, well, that's awesome, Lord. So we dated for almost 2 years. We're engaged a year and married in 91. Actually, it was Wayne Smith's last marriage.
Oh, wow.
It was the last wedding that he did.
Okay.
And so we were fortunate to have that and been together for married for over 27 years now.
Wow. And you have three children?
Three children. Lansing is will be 23 in December, and he's out working and finding his way in life and doing well. Just saw him the other night. He's doing great. Harrison just started his third year at Asbury studying engineering. And my little girl, my little princess, Hayden, started her first day of college as we tape this today. So she's at UK at the College School of Design.
Yeah. Well, they're all three wonderful, and I've been blessed to be watching them grow up, and just love that, like I said, what you talk, you also walk, and so wonderful children that you've raised, 27 years of marriage. And, you know, Greg, there's so many things out there, and we know marriage is a struggle, one out of every two marriages, unfortunately, ends in divorce. I've been a byproduct of that. You've helped me to heal through that. Yet, I want to just today, because of all the research and study that you have done, just to kind of help, you know, give people hope. But a lot of people are like, you know, well, gosh, you know, what does the Bible say about a Christian marriage? You know, what's a godly Christian marriage supposed to look like?
Well, I appreciate that, Greg, because, yeah, I think even in many of our churches, we have compromised a lot of what it really is by, because we think we may lose some people and those kind of things if we really hold up God's standard. And when we hold up God's standard, it's not enough to just preach and teach it. As in anything, we have to hold people accountable to what that is. Even if they make the mistakes, it's okay, because that's what grace does. It covers us. One of the things I tweeted recently, I'll throw this in, well, within the last couple of years, is that God's grace is amazing, but it will never compromise His truth. And I think so often we tweak because we think it'll make people feel better, and then when it falls apart, we wonder why, because we think we're still walking in His truth, but we've missed it. And there's two or three things I always like to say about marriage according to God's Word. First of all, unequivocally, it was right from the beginning, it was the first relationship and the first institution. Marriage was in the garden before the fall, one man, one woman, male and female, in the image of God for life. Everything else apart from that breaks God's will, changes the pattern that God set. And, you know, we've talked about this before, and you said, yes, you've been a byproduct of that. But the first thing is it was male and female, two genders, and that's it. And they were to be together with one another intimately and only for life. And even in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, after that great theological letter, connecting the old covenant with the new covenant, ends in the last chapter, as we know it, chapter 13, verse 4. Marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept undefiled, for God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral and a list of others. So it's not just honoring it when you get married. It's teaching young people to honor it all the way through. It's teaching people within marriage to honor it, teaching those that aren't in it. If we don't do that, the foundations begin to crumble. So a godly marriage is male-female for life together. The other thing is that the great treatise that Paul wrote in Ephesians 5, husband or wives submit to your husbands in verse 22. So there's submission. Then there's husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave her His life up for her. And then he says, this is a mystery, but I'm going to tell you what the mystery is. Whenever I talk about marriage, I'm really talking about Christ the bridegroom and His bride the church. That's how important it is. So I'll ask pastors and churches all the time. Just did it this last weekend in Colorado. I said, pastors and church leaders, how is your church, the bride of Christ, reflecting on marriage with what you teach and how you hold your marriages accountable? And what are the marriages in your church saying about His bride? Because that's what it is in Scripture. The many people have heard that the Bible is the greatest love letter. I take it a step further. The Bible is the greatest marriage manual. And you can't get away from that. Man and woman in the garden before the fall, God and Israel, husband and wife, clearly stated throughout the Old Testament, Christ and His bride, the new covenant. Everything written about it has something to do with one or all three of those. And so you can't get apart. So I say this, the key in marriage is simply, first of all, it's submission. But that's not, if you go back one verse in Ephesians 5:21, it says, submit to one another out of reverence for your Lord Christ. So if we don't get that reverence in who He is as Lord, we're going to have trouble submitting to anyone. So the submission it talks about to wives and the love it talks about to husbands starts there.
Well, and that's the thing, Greg. So many people, and I think the enemy uses, you know, they don't see that first verse, you know, that you just talked about. They just see the one about wives submit to your husbands, and obviously, you know, little fire starts coming out of women's ears.
And understandable. Go, oh, thanks, honey, for dragging me here. This is great. I like this guy.
Absolutely. And because, unfortunately, the way, you know, a lot of men are, leading at home and not being, you know, like the bride of Christ, you know, loving their wife
servant
like that,
leader.
Servant leaders, yeah. You know, then they don't want to quote submit, but really it goes back to that prior verse anyway, right?
Yeah, whenever I do a conference or a retreat or a series at a church or with an organization, I go, look, we can get frustrated all we want about what it means for wives to submit and respect unconditionally. Dr. Egrich talks about that in Love and Respect very well. But the flip side of that is the unconditional love of a husband for his wife, Christ for his bride. But we're going to struggle with that if we don't go back one verse to the foundation that Paul has led up to and said, by the way, it all begins with, in any relationship, in Christ, we submit to one another. I defer to you. I choose to do that. By the way, it doesn't say, husbands, teach your wives how to submit to you. Wives, teach your husbands how to love to you. Now, that's a great thing if the other person asks for it, but it's a command, an unconditional command. It says, wives, this is what you're called to do in the Lord. Husbands, this is what you're called to do in the Lord, regardless of what your spouse does. Now, that doesn't advocate for abuse. That's not the point here. We can work through that by separating and working on that and coming back to this point of submit to one another out of reverence for your Lord. What I've found is that even most of those, and I would say a huge percentage, Greg, 75 to 90%, 3/4 to 9/10 of every couple that I sit with, they don't understand that part. They don't understand first and foremost, and they'll say to me, I've been in church most all of my life. Most of the time I hear that, and I've never really heard this, that where I need to start is by submitting to the Lord out of reverence for Him, and He's my Lord. Then I begin to understand what submission and sacrifice is. Now I can submit to my husband and truly, unconditionally love my wife.
Well, and this is a whole other program in itself, but, you know, the one thing that I've learned from you is that, you know, a lot of people, a lot of men, women have made, you know, Jesus their Savior, but they've not made Him Lord of their life.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't think you can separate it. I think that's a false teaching. If I'm stepping on toes, I'll let the Holy Spirit take it from there. But I think that's a false teaching. We can go to the rich young ruler and find that example. Quick, Cliff Notes version. the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10 came to Jesus and said, what must I do to be saved? He asked a salvation question. We won't go through the story, but when Jesus finished with him, he said, if you will sell all you have and give it to the poor. That wasn't a wealth issue. That was an idolatry issue. But he said, if you do that, then you can come follow me. He answered a salvation question with a discipleship answer. If we are saved, we are saved to be in a relationship with him. And the only relationship we can be in with him that works is if he's Lord. It won't work any other way. So there's no compromise there. When we talk about salvation, we cannot separate it from what it means for him to be Lord and for us to sell out, count the cost, and say, you are first in every part of my life, Luke 14. If there's anything prioritized over you, I'm not your disciple, Jesus said, and you're not my Lord. So if we start there, then we can carry it into our other relationships, marriage, family, parenting, friendships, the church.
All right. Lots of great stuff here. Can't believe we're already out of time. Greg, if people want to find more stuff about what you've written and things, give the website they can go to.
Yeah, it's KentuckyMarriage.org, all spelled out. KentuckyMarriage.org, and you can go on Facebook and get onto the Kentucky Marriage Movement Group. Kentucky Marriage Movement Group, and you'll see a lot more about that.
All right. I want you to tune in tomorrow with us. Tell somebody if they are struggling in their marriage or need some encouragement to tune in tomorrow. Greg's going to be with us. We're going to talk about what are some of the causes that, you know, cause problems in Christian marriages. I'm Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.